Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly podcast from Guymey Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Matt Willis, Associate Pastor here at GBC. Thanks for joining us this week. This week, we continue our series On This Rock, but with a twist. Instead of sharing personal reflections on a foundational text, I spoke on a passage that is foundational for us right now, in the midst of the lockdown occurring in Greater Sydney. That text is 1 Corinthians 13, 8 to 13.
Well, hello, church. I'm thrilled to be here with you all tonight. Another week in lockdown, not quite what we wanted. And yet, I'm encouraged by the fact that wherever you are, we're meeting together. We've all tuned in at the same time to open up God's word and hear from him as we seek to follow him and deepen our discipleship. So I hope that that's encouraging for you as you kind of get ready as we dive deep into his word tonight. And I think this lockdown for me has really solidified the fact that we are still very much living in a COVID world, aren't we? We hoped, we prayed, we thought that maybe we were getting to the end. It started to feel as if we had pushed our way through, gotten through the worst of it, and had maybe started to experience the new part of life, kind of post-COVID, only to have the floor pulled out from underneath us and for us to realize with kind of irreverent certainty that we are still in the thick of it. We're right in the middle. We are in the in-between of COVID. The old way of living, that's gone. COVID has changed too much. It's shifted too much for us. There's really no ever going back to the way it was, and yet we've not made it to the other end, have we? We've not gotten through it. We're not in the new way of living post-COVID. And I think for me, that's meant that I've kind of had to ask myself some big questions about the way I see the world and the aspects that make it up. Because there's so much before this experience of COVID and the pandemic, not just in the last 2 weeks, but in the last 18 months. There's so much about what my life used to look like that I was so certain of. Things that I was so sure of, that were so concrete, that I could bet on never being gone. And yet what I found in living in this kind of in-between of COVID is that those very things that I thought were certain have now become temporary. And now, like sand in my hands, just slipping through my fingers, I can't fully grasp it because they can just be taken away so easily by 11 a.m. conference with Gladys. And yet, there's just so much. They're still there. Things like travel, work, education, even those really significant things like time with family and friends. Time as a church meeting together in this place, face to face, to worship and grow together. There's still things that are so valuable for our life, and yet the reality is that they've become temporary. And as I consider this huge shift, this huge experience of living in the in-between of COVID, I've started to ask myself then, well, what is certain? If the things that I used to think were certain are no longer, then what is certain? What is concrete? What can I be sure of as I live in this in-between? And the thing is, that is exactly what Paul is writing about to the church in Corinth in the book of 1 Corinthians. And so if you have your Bible with you, I encourage you, open it up. We're going to be looking at chapter 13. That's 1 Corinthians 13, starting at verse 8. It will come up on the screen for you too, though. But let's read the word together. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Our experience of COVID, our experience of being in the in-between, of having to consider what has become temporary now and what is concrete, is not the first time that we as people have had to consider this reality. Because we've actually been living in an in-between for far longer than COVID. We've been living in a spiritual in-between. A spiritual in-between of the now and not yet. And that is exactly what the church in Corinth were grappling with. That is exactly what Paul is challenging them about. The now, the not yet. It's a term that maybe you've heard before, but really what it speaks to is this kingdom theology, this belief that we have that when Jesus came to earth, when God humbled himself and became flesh and sent his son into our earth with a message and with a purpose, he also brought the very kingdom of God to dwell here amongst us. When Jesus first started his ministry, he declared, "The good news is here, the kingdom of God is near." We believe that when Jesus came, the ministry that he did, the miracles that he did, his death and resurrection on the cross, it laid the foundation of the God's kingdom here on earth. It started its construction, and yet we've not arrived at its fullness. We've not arrived at the completion of the kingdom here on earth. It's not come to full fruition. It's still happening. We're in the now, not yet. We're in the in-between. And similar to COVID, we're struck with the reality that we can't go back to the old. Jesus got rid of all of that. Everything that we see in the Old Testament, the temple systems, the sacrifices, the way that the Israelites met with and connected with God, there's no returning to that way of faith. And yet, we're not in the new yet, not in its fullness. And so similar to COVID, it presents us with the reality where we need to consider, well, what is temporary in this in-between, this spiritual in-between, this kingdom in-between? And what is concrete? What can I be certain of? What is eternal? Because knowing the difference between the two is very important for us in our discipleship. Which brings us to Paul's letter to the church here in Corinth in chapter 13. Because Paul is speaking to a community who are in the in-between. Maybe you heard it in the language. Verse 12. "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." It's almost he knew that we would be live streaming this reflection in a mirror, but one day we'll see face to face again. But it speaks of this in-between. We can understand in part because the kingdom has arrived, but because it's not come to fruition, to its fullness, to its completion, we don't get that fullness of understanding. We're somewhere in the in-between, in the now, not yet. And yet what had happened for the church in Corinth is that they had lost sight of the things that were eternal, but rather were putting all their focus, all their attention, all their time and resources on the very things that were temporary, on the things that would not continue on when the kingdom came. Now, I don't know about you, but normally when I start to hear scripture talk about things that are temporary in our world, things that will melt away, things that will fall through our hands, that we can't take with us into eternal life, I start to think of things that are detrimental to my faith. I start to think of things that distract me from Jesus, things that pull me away from God's call in my life. Things like greed and gain, like status and influence, power and privilege, because those things I can see as being harmful to what God is doing in my life. Those things I can see as being tools that maybe the enemy will use to distract me. Those things I can see as being detrimental to my discipleship. And yet, what we find here in chapter 13 is that Paul starts speaking and listing spiritual practices. Verse 8, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Prophecies, tongues, knowledge. These are things that the church in Corinth and the church today use to discern the will of God, to discern his character. They are good, valuable things. They fill us up. They help us live a life of faith. And yet, what Paul is saying is, yes, they're good. Yes, they're valuable, but they are temporary. They are only good for this in-between, because when the kingdom comes, you won't need them anymore. So they shouldn't be your number one priority. Because think about it. These spiritual practices are about understanding who God is, what he's doing in our world, understanding his plans and purposes so that we can participate in them. And there is going to become a time when the kingdom comes, when we are living in the very presence of God, experiencing full, unfiltered revelation of who he is. We won't need spiritual practices to help us understand, because we will live in the eternal kingdom of God in his presence. We will know. We will have, as Paul says, we will see face to face, and we shall know fully in that moment. And so, this is not a matter of what is good for our faith and what is bad, but rather a focus of our hearts, a focus of the church's heart, because Paul was concerned that the church in Corinth were prioritizing things that were temporary, that were holding them up as the most valuable thing, but really their value had a time limit on them. And as a result, they had forgotten to focus on the things in this world, the things in the now that actually are eternal. The things in the now that actually come from the kingdom are an overflow of the kingdom in our world that we actually get to participate in now as we exist in this spiritual in-between. It was Paul's challenge to the church in Corinth, and it's his challenge for us now. Because we need to make sure that the things that we are focusing on are not the things that will wash away. And the aspect of discipleship for the community in Corinth and for us as well, that Paul says and identifies as being eternal, as being the representation of God's kingdom here in our world, is love. Verse 8, love never fails. Verse 13, but the greatest of these is love. Love will never cease. It will never end. It existed before the kingdom came. It exists within the kingdom, and it will exist when the kingdom comes to fruition. Because love is God and God is love. You cannot separate the two. And therefore, because God is eternal, his love is eternal. And Paul is saying that should be our number one priority, love. Now, I have to confess a little bit here. I cringe when I hear the term love. When I hear scripture talk about, hey, just love, I kind of go back to the fact that our society and even sometimes church has turned love into this soft, simplistic, tokenistic term that we throw around haphazardly to make ourselves or other people feel better. We use it with such recklessness that it's lost its potency, lost its grit and its gumption. We've turned the love of God, the love that he demonstrates to us in Scripture, in Jesus, we've turned it into this Disney version love that has actually become a type of love that is temporary and will, in fact, dissolve. But that simple, tokenistic love, that soft love that we kind of see in the double tap of an Instagram post or, you know, even on the chat online, it is temporary. And it is not the type of love that we read about in Scripture. It is not the type of love that we see in the character of God. And Paul explains that to us. He explains the love that we need to be taking as our number one priority, the love that is eternal, the love that comes from God, and it is not soft. It is full and robust and complex, and it is sacrificial. Go back a little bit before our Bible reading to verse 4. It's a very famous passage. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This is more than just an attitude of niceness. Love is complex. It has multiple parts that make it what it is, a godly kind of love. And it is all defined by this costly, self-sacrificial devotion to love others and to love God. Hear about, listen to those tones, those terms, sorry, that Paul uses. Patience. Have you ever had to be patient with someone in love? It can be hard going. As they make the wrong decision, as they come to the wrong conclusion, as they behave in ways that you really don't want them to. I'm a parent. It is hard to be patient when my kids are being irrational and unreasonable. But I love them. So I stand in that tantrum. I stand in that moment where they make the wrong decision, where they make the wrong call, where they come to the wrong conclusion, and I'm patient with them as they kind of figure it out. Love perseveres, Paul says. And that takes grit, that takes grunt, that requires us to be in the trenches with those who we are called to love, to push through the barriers, to push through the obstacles and the challenges, to not just tap out and say, that's too hard, that's too much, I don't have capacity. Sorry, find someone else. To persevere, there's a real devotion in that, a real sense of purpose. To rejoice in truth. Love journeys with people as they discover truth. Truth given to us in Scripture. Truth given to us by God. Love sees people come to know the truth of who God is, the kingdom that He is building, and how we can be a part of it. It never gets angry. It doesn't dishonor. It isn't self-seeking. And we know that. We know that in full certainty because we see it in Jesus. I don't know about you, but Jesus is regularly patient with me as I come to the wrong conclusion. Jesus continuously perseveres with me as I come against struggles. He's kind to me when I need a gentle hand. He protects me. He's trustworthy. He gives me hope when I am hopeless, and He rejoices in those moments where I see the revelation of His truth. He does not get angry with me. He does not dishonor me. I am a living, breathing recipient of God's love, of the love that I am told I should be an outpouring of, that I am told is the eternal representation of God's kingdom here on earth, that I'm told should be my number one priority. And if I'm going to do that, that means I need to be willing to remain in hardships. I need to be willing to journey through challenges, and I need to be willing to be present in all seasons because that's the love of God. And that's the love that I'm told is an eternal representation of His kingdom in our world. And that, Paul says, should be my number one priority. Our number one priority. If the church isn't loving one another and loving God, but is full of spiritual practices, we have missed the point. Those things, those practices are helpful as we discern who God is, the love that He is, and then live that love out in our world. Because Paul says, love is the greatest, because it is the truest indicator that a person belongs to and is intimidating God Himself. Because love belongs to God and is poured into us as His followers through the Holy Spirit. Love is an activity, the essential activity of God. And when we love God and when we love others, we are, however imperfectly, doing what God does. We are participating in the construction of His kingdom here on earth. We are helping get to the not yet. We are helping to see lives changed. Because the actions and behaviors produced by that kind of love is completely countercultural. We live in a world that is full of envy, that is full of pride, that is full of self-centeredness. We have things like cancel culture. Maybe you've heard of this, where if someone does something wrong, says something wrong, has an attitude of wrong, rather than journeying with them, rather than trying to help them, educate them, support them, persevere and be patient with them in that space, we eradicate them. We remove them from our perspective, from our culture, from our feed. We cancel them completely. In a society where we get told, you do you, we as the church need to say, we're here for you. Because it's that kind of love that is provocative, that is impactful. As we humble ourselves, as we make ourselves second, the way that Jesus did on the cross, as we sacrificially love others, it invites them in. Because imagine what that would look like. Imagine what it would look like for us as people living in a pandemic where everything is temporary now. Everything can just be washed away, can be taken away. We can be told that we have to go into our house, disconnect from everything. Imagine what it means for us if the thing that we actually build our life on, that we set our feet on firmly, is not the things of this world, is not the temporary, but is the eternal. If we build our love, our life on the love of God that is eternal, then when COVID hits, or whatever the struggle is, whatever the challenge is, yes, we may experience fear, we might experience anxiety, we might experience disappointment, but it will not overcome us. It will not conquer us. It will not wash the floor out from underneath us, because we are on something stronger. We are standing on something stronger. We are firmly set on God's love. And so for us, it builds us up. It draws us out of all the chaos and uncertainty that we're experiencing in our world. But more than that, imagine what it would look like to everyone else. Everyone who is filled with uncertainty, everyone who's having their reality fall through their hands when Gladys says lockdown, everyone who has built their life on the sand, imagine what it would look like for them to look in and see the church, God's church, His kingdom here on earth in the now, demonstrating His love to them. Imagine what that would do in their life. Imagine if we were so filled with the love of God, so sure of the eternal love of God that it outpoured in everything that we did, that we were a true, living, breathing representation of God's construction, the building that He is doing in His kingdom of God, that in every way that we can, every opportunity that we have, we can participate in that construction through being a living, breathing representation of the very brick and mortar that He is using, His love. I think we would start to see lives changed by Jesus, lives changed by that love. And so, church, our challenge for us now is to make that our anthem. Make that our priority. Make that our number one. Everything else is secondary. Everything else equips us and helps us understand that love better so that we can live it, breathe it, build the kingdom, and see lives changed by it. Amen.
Our experience of COVID and lockdown has shown us that so much of our life has become temporary. And so we must remember to remain focused on the things that are eternal. We are called to be a living, breathing outpouring of God's love within the world. And by doing so, we are used in God's construction of His kingdom. Due to the current public health order, our facilities are closed to the public until restrictions are eased. This means that if you'd like to join us for worship this week, you'll need to do so online. Our services this week are at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. And you can join us by logging into gbconline.org.au. Keep an eye out on our social media platforms for any changes to this. I trust that wherever you are, you have been encouraged by what you've heard today, and that you will faithfully step into all that God has in store for you this week. God bless.